You are listening to the Young Black Travelers Podcast, Black voices conversing on experiential travel, dedicated to creating a global community of travelers. Be bold, be inspired, be spontaneous. We are YBT.
Listeners, welcome to another episode of the Young Black Travelers Podcast. We are so excited that you're joining us for another conversation from Africa. My name is Asher Cunningham, and I'm the founder of Young Black Travelers. And again, we're happy that you're joining us for this conversation. Today, we have our guest joining us again to talk about our trip from Africa. I'm going to have them hail you up again. So, Anthony, how about you? Hail up our listeners.
Hey, listeners. Hey, gangs. Listen, wherever you're joining from, this is Anthony R. Wilson, and I am so excited to be in yet another conversation about my African trip. So welcome.
Yes, yes. Thank you for joining us again, Anthony. I mean, you are Mr. Comedian. I tell you, Anthony was a comedian on the trip. The guy is funny, but, you know, hopefully he'll drop some little comedy on this episode for you listeners.
I don't recall being funny. I guess because I was the older one on the group, so old age, you guys were laughing at the old man. It's all right.
I don't think we were. But yes, thank you, Anthony. Stella, hail up our listeners.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another audio adventure. I am Stella, aka Stells. I am excited to tell you all about our East African trip. Welcome.
Yeah, we are excited. We are excited to talk about East Africa. I guess the first question that I have for you all is, before we went to obviously Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia, where did you travel before? How about you, Anthony? Or where last did you go?
Oh boy. So I don't know if you guys remember, we talked about this on the trip one of our nights. Mm-hmm. I have not traveled for the last 8 years.
Jesus.
Just shifting my career, doing so many different things, planning to purchase my first home. I was like super laser focused. So I did not do any international traveling. Any traveling that I did was really very local, like where I can drive to. So it's been a couple of years, and I believe the last country that I visited was the Dominican Republic.
Wow, 8 years ago, Anthony.
Yes, I was very young with a lot more hair.
Listen, I'm sure that was a different time, but we'll get into the whole conversation about, you know, your experience, because 8 years ago compared to now, I'm sure your experiences in Africa just was exciting and rejuvenating, but we'll get into that. Stella, how about you?
Yes. So 2022 has been an adventure for me. I've been to a lot of places, U.S. domestic trips, and then as well as international trips. Prior my adventure to Africa, I was in Florida. I went to Tampa, Florida for an amazingly fun bachelorette trip. And prior my trip to Tampa, I was actually in St. Croix for a wedding. My cousins got married, and honestly, it was so beautiful. St. Croix is one of those islands that I would highly recommend everybody to go to. The people are nice, the water is incredible, and just crystal clear blue, and the food is amazing.
Wow. Stella, you're selling the people on St. Croix. I guess we do need to have a conversation about St. Croix, but we'll save that for another podcast. But, you know, quickly, both Anthony and Stella, what sparked your interest in travel? Anthony, how about you first?
So I'll definitely say that I've always been interested in traveling. Being a first generation Guyanese American, obviously, I had parents that came from the Central America / Caribbean. And every year during the summertime, you know, we would be shipped out to Guyana. So I had very early exposure of getting on the plane. And I was always, as a kid, you know, fascinated with jumping on the plane and that whole thing, leaving America and going to another place. So I think the seed was sown there. Wow. And then as I got older, you know, and as our family got more established here in America, we would start having family vacations. We would start visiting families in so many different places. And we've always had family internationally. So I've always gone to London, to Canada, to Amsterdam, and some of these places to visit family. So I've always been interested in traveling. And as I got older and settled more into my career, I started to meet people from all different places and having a lot of curiosity for their culture. And so that's what prompted it for me. I think I gave like more than I should have, but
no, take what I gave. No, that is okay. That is quite fine. Thank you for that. Thank you. Stella, how about you?
So traveling for me is embedded in my DNA. I am a first generation Nigerian. So all I know is my family coming from Nigeria and visiting us while I was a child. And then of course, moving here as well. So I was just always fascinated with people being able to travel back and forth from countries to different countries. And with that fascination, I realized how important culture was, because every time I saw my aunts, every time I saw my cousins and my uncles, they were bringing a piece of Nigeria to me, you know? Mm. And at that time, I hadn't visited Nigeria, but I did get the opportunity to visit Nigeria at a very young age, I would say like about three. And that was probably the first country I've ever been to, followed by London. And it was so long ago, but I do have pictures to jog those memories. But nevertheless, I think that's what sparked my interest in traveling. And as I got older, you know, I was fortunate enough to travel to many different countries, and I really just appreciated immersing myself into different cultures, learning about different people, the way they lived, you know, what they did for fun, what they like to read in different countries, how they dress, you know, their different views on life, you know, and it's just something that I hold dear to my heart. And I would say definitely traveling is one of my favorite hobbies.
Wow. Thank you. And you see, there was a theme there of cultural immersion and the curiosity of other cultures. And that is honestly one of the beautiful reasons and one of the main reasons why I think a lot of us travel, to immerse ourselves in culture. And so, yeah, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to immerse into the conversation about Tanzania. So stay tuned as we continue this conversation. Welcome back from our break. Thank you for sticking with us. We are heading into our main conversation about Tanzania. You've heard our stories from Kenya. You've heard that Shayna was with us. You've heard that it was myself, Anthony, and Stella who continued on to Tanzania. But let me tell you, listeners, we actually did not take a plane to Tanzania. We got on a bus. We got on a bus for how long was the ride, guys? It was 6 hours, right?
A six hour ride
to Tanzania. And you know, I want to ask Stella, Anthony, what did they feel about the ride? What was your feeling about the ride? Anthony, how about you?
So I was hoping that you were going to go with Stella first so I could temper what I was going to say.
This should be interesting.
Stella was making sure that I was compliant on the trip with my questioning and my comments. So I am never, I have never been one for long driving. Mm-hmm. I do not like long driving. I know some people enjoy it. Some people think it's therapeutic. Some people like to enjoy, you know, looking at the countryside. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I had that experience. I think if I had to make a suggestion to someone wanting to move between these two regions, mm-hmm. I would suggest a plane. I thought it was long. I was not really very comfortable on the bus that we were on. And then we were kind of packed in with other passengers. And so there were some other concerns about being so close, you know, personal space and all the things that can come with personal space. Mm-hmm. whatever you can imagine, all those things were might have been experienced. So yeah, that's my take. It was great when we got to where we were going, but
the ride,
it was a little bit too much for me.
Yes. Stella, how about you?
Yeah, I would say that ride was not as comfortable as I expected to be. I believe we were in a 4-row passenger van, so it wasn't that big at all.
Yeah.
About 3 to 4 people in each row, so you can only imagine how tight we were for about 4 to 6 hours. Now, I would say the road was smooth, right? And it was a scenic ride.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But just being in the car for that long wasn't as accommodating as I would have liked it to be. But nevertheless, it was an experience. We got to meet some people, right?
Yes.
We were so close together. So we had no other choice but to communicate with each other and learn about each other. I would say they were having very eventful conversations about politics. So hearing that was nice because I got to learn a little bit more about, you know, Kenya and Tanzania politics. But besides that, I don't know if I'll do it again, Ashley. I need to be honest with you, Anthony, and the
listeners. Yes.
If you don't have to get on the road for 4 to 6 hours from Kenya to Tanzania, do not do it. You can catch a flight and it's much shorter and you save a lot of time. Okay. Like a lot of time.
No, I certainly agree with you. I think as compared to Stella and Anthony, by the way, heading to Tanzania, I was sick. That was you're going to hear a different phases when I was sick in Africa, but that was probably stage one. And so I was obviously in the front seat. And even through that, it was long. I'm like Anthony, I'm not necessarily a fan of road trips, but, you know, I appreciate them when they do happen. I think for me, what I experienced was I got the opportunity to see just the different Maasai tribes. Like, you know, or just the Maasai people along the roadside away from the tourist Maasai village. And I think for me, that was interesting, right? Like I'm seeing people along the roadside, just like you would see them in our textbooks, but also along the way, you're seeing just some scenic and just different landscape of Tanzania. So aside from the fact that I thought it was long, I think if you're able to stomach, you know, a road trip like that, it is an experience where you just really get to see the scene and the landscape of Africa. I saw the color of the mud change or the ground change from dark red to a little brownish. And I'm like, I was fascinated by all that. But I would also say to your points, let's go there. I think we're going to go there. In the van, I remember there was someone who came in and there was a strong smell. Should we talk about the smells that we were, or the scents that we were experiencing on this trip?
Well, you know, Asher.
Stella, you know, I was good.
Purposely.
I didn't say it, Stella, but he did.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for respecting that level.
Let's go there.
Left that out. But I mean, if you brought it.
Let's go there.
Before we get there, I think, Asher, your point in terms of what we saw while we were driving is spot on. Again, it was nice to even seeing the land change, right, from like Kenya to Tanzania. One of the things I noticed was that Tanzania, especially closer to the border, is a lot more red than Kenya.
Yes.
Like, a lot of red sand, a lot of deep red.
That was shocking to me.
Yes. It was very interesting to me because the countries are right next to each other. So it was amazing how, like, the land itself just are completely different. You know, mm-hmm. I felt like Kenya was more green. It had a lot more greenery. It mm-hmm. was actually green. Like, you could see green everywhere.
Yeah.
But I didn't really see that upon arriving to Tanzania until we got to the city of Arusha.
Correct.
And even there were still tints of red.
Mm-hmm.
Red on the ground, red in the dirt, red in the sand. Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's get to our nose. Our nose just bounce it off.
Trying to
we gotta let the listeners know.
We gotta be honest. That's what
we're keeping it honest.
Travelers, and we talk about the pros and the cons.
Yes. So who wanna take it first? Anthony or Stella?
Anthony should go ahead.
I am ready.
What?
I wasn't ready, but I ready.
Go on.
I will say that one of the things that I experienced, and as we, you know, this, we got onto this van, and there were a lot of people getting on the van. That's number one. We got on. Stella and I claimed our territory in the first row. We got on there super early. We spread out. It was very clear to everyone else that got on the van, do not come in this front row. Stella had the Brooklyn face on. I had the Bronx face on. We were ready. As passengers were getting on, we realized, oh, wow, we're actually going to get this rope to ourselves. So we were happy. As we drove off, we stopped at a gas station, and our driver picked up one more passenger.
The details, the details. I love it. Go on.
Yes. That one passenger would have sat next to me, right, because he was coming into the door. And unfortunately, for me and for Stella, this gentleman had very, very, very strong body odor. What we would probably consider here in America as offensive body odor. So imagine that we had this 4 to 6 hour ride. You know, imagine, you know, the type of seats that we were telling you, not much space to stretch your legs out. And then we were contending with this body odor. And I had it the worst because he was next to me. And I'm telling you, you know, it was just really, really difficult. It was really difficult for me to maneuver through it. And, you know, as we moved through the landscape, sometimes there were bumps. And every time we got a bump, it was like a new wave of scent. And I was like, God, you have to bring me through this. Like, this is a lot. It was almost nauseating.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Wow. So that's Anthony's take on it. Stella, come on.
You know, I'm going to say Anthony told no lies there. And I just felt so bad because he literally was shoulder to shoulder to this man that he's referring to. And, you know, I got a whiff of it every now and then. But I really just did my best to try to sleep. I felt like if I slept, the more I slept, the longer I can avoid the smell, right? I figured if I can't really smell anything, even though I did wake up from a strong smell every now and then. But I will say God is good.
Amen.
Get through it, you know, and ironically, he spoke a lot. So, you know, as he spoke too, we were also getting, you know, a lot of movement, and the movement came with a lot of different,
It came with a wave. It was a wave.
Yes,
strong and mighty.
It was quite an experience, I would say, you know, to the point where the smell almost started tasting a certain way. It was, you know, these senses are all connected.
Yes.
Put it that way.
Yes.
But, you know, that's all part of traveling. Hey, you can't pick and choose who your buddy is, right?
Exactly.
What could we say?
Wow, thank you both for that. You know, and you know, this, we keep it honest on this podcast. I would say that's one of the things you probably have to temper your expectation for, right? That may happen. You may experience different smells along the way, because I think that was our experience throughout that region. And we got to become comfortable with it to a certain extent because we recognize that it's to be expected. But nonetheless, we're going to move the story along. Now we're in Arusha. And so, by the way, Arusha came on the list simply because Arusha is one of the city. And so it's Arusha or Moshi. If you're interested in seeing Mount Kilimanjaro, you want to go to Arusha or Moshi. Arusha is the most or one of the most developed in that region. So hence why we chose Arusha. Mount Kilimanjaro was the goal, not to climb the mountain for the 8-day trek that some people take on, but to just do a little excursion for a few hours. And so hence why we actually took the bus from Nairobi to Arusha, Tanzania. So we actually stayed in Arusha for about one night. Stella and Anthony, what were your take on the Arusha Marriott? Stella, how about you?
Yeah, I loved the town of Arusha. Arusha reminds me of a small countryside, but yet in a busy town area. It almost felt like we were in a boutique city, which made sense because the hotel we stayed in was also a boutique hotel. I really appreciated the hotel. The hotel was spacious. It was clean. The rooms were nice and big. I had a one room with two queen size beds in it, which was more than enough space for me. And the food was great. We had breakfast. Yes. It came with breakfast for free every morning. And it was tons of food. And like I mentioned, it tasted really well. We were in a essential area where there were really popular restaurants around us. So I remember at one point we actually took a walk, Asha and myself.
Yes.
We took a walk and we went to the restaurant. We'll get the name of the restaurant and add it to the description below. I highly recommend it. It's authentic Tanzanian food. The vibe is beautiful in there. Like the atmosphere, the ambiance is really nice. I think those who love to post on Instagram will definitely appreciate it. But besides that, I think that staying in Arusha, I think we were there for like about 2 days, was definitely worth it. One of the things myself, and I believe Asher, you were with me when we found out when the hotel was actually built. So if I'm not mistaken, the hotel was built 1864.
Yes.
And it was interesting because they have like a history log of all the people who actually stayed in the hotel. And I was looking at the year and I saw 1934 and I had to second guess myself, like, is this the time? Is this military time?
Yes.
Because that was a whole nother story between military time. But is this military time or is this actually the date that somebody signed this log? It was the date, the person's name, how many stays they were in the hotel for and how many rooms they reserved. And then there's this whole like history wall in the hotel and it's tucked in the back. So if you were to ever visit that hotel, it's tucked in the back, but apparently that is the first safari hotel in Arusha, in the city of Arusha in 1864. So, I mean, it was quite nostalgic if you ask me.
I agree. And just remember that Arusha and Tanzania and even Kenya, these are safari regions. So I think when I saw that, I was just thinking back to like Tarzan or these movies where, you know, white explorers came to those regions and then they're probably building up places to stay. That's what I was thinking about. But I think it was really nostalgic, as Stella said, you know, the date, like we were in a historic hotel and they actually memorialize it beautifully. So I think the name of that restaurant or coffee shop that we went to is called Kitamu Coffee. Amazing spot. Thank you, Google Photos.
You know what else we should thank you, Google Photos. I think something else you should tell the listeners about is that ginger tea. Unfortunately, my good friend Asha would have feeling too well, but they had this ginger tea in the hotel that really helped them out.
Stella, oh my God, listeners. So as I said, I had two bouts of sickness on my African trip. And I think the first happened because of the weather in that region. If you're going in July or August, we went in August, just know that it's going to be colder in that region, right? We're talking about 50s. We're talking about 50s for its low, even sometimes in the 40s. So we weren't dressed. We weren't prepared for it. And so I got sick. I think I got the flu. I remember there were times when I'm talking about driving from Nairobi to Arusha. I'm in that car driving. I am sick. My head is hurting. By the time I got to the hotel, I'm just ready to sleep. But the tea Stella is talking about is called Dao tea. Let me tell you guys, that tea just brings you back to life, you know. So when you go to Kenya or Tanzania, Dao tea is a thing there. So just get some Dao tea. It's made with ginger, honey, and they probably have different spices in there. Just pick yourself up some Dao and you'll be all right. You'll be all right. All right. So as I told you guys, I was sick. Again, came to Arusha because we wanted to climb the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. We weren't intending to do the 2-3-9-day climb. We were intending to do just a few hours at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. So actually, because, you know, I remember waking up on the day we were supposed to do this climb, and I was sick. I remember saying to Anthony, I'm not doing this. My body was still aching. And so Stella and Anthony actually went ahead to do the excursion. And by the way, let me shout out the company that did that plans this excursion, because let me tell you, it's one of the things that I've experienced while traveling is that in certain places, some people are not, customer service is not great. We've talked about Ethiopian Airlines, and you'll hear our take about Ethiopian Airlines after this episode, but certain company, they accommodated me. Even though I did not show up to the excursion, they gave me a refund. It wasn't a full refund, which I wasn't necessarily expecting, but I was like, at least give me back some, and they did. So Stella and Anthony, tell the listeners what your experience was on this excursion. How about you, Anthony?
Wow, so the tour to the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. We got up that morning, Stella and I, obviously because, you know, you couldn't make it. And so Stella and I were ready. You know, we got our gear on and our guide, Goldie. Was it Goldie, Stella?
Goldie.
That's his name. Goldie came, yep. Picked us up from our hotel, and he was really great, very courteous. And so what we did was we drove to Moshi from Arusha. We were staying in Arusha. So we drove to Moshi to visit a hot springs, because that time of day, I think it was still like 11 a.m., 10 a.m., and the weather was not so great on the mountain. It was raining. So we wanted to do a detour so that the weather could subside before we climbed up. So we went to this local hot spring in Moshi called Chemka that was very popular. And when we got there, I did not go into the hot springs. So Stella, you got to take it away from here because you got the full experience.
Wait, Anthony, before I take it away, do you want to tell the people why you didn't get into the water?
Well, I feel like Stella's throwing me under the bus right now. So.
Listen, Anthony, be honest.
All my fans are going to know about all my fears. So listen, I am a scaredy cat when it comes to any type of water that does not have a bottom. So if I can't walk on it, I have a major issue. So that was one thing. And then the other thing was there were these little fish that were giving you pedicures, like literally eating the flesh off of your feet. And ARW was not playing that. So I decided to take one for the team and stand outside with the camera and allow Queen Ogunleyu to go into the water.
Thank you. Queen indeed. Yes, so he is absolutely right. So there are little tiny microscopic fish that are actually in the Chemka hot springs that gives you a nice little pedicure. It's not that bad. It's not all through the hot spring. The hot spring is actually pretty big.
there's multiple sides at the hot spring, but when you hop into it, when you're on the sides of the hot spring, that's where you feel the fish the most, but you don't feel it all through. I will say the water just felt so natural. It just felt really good. It felt good on my skin. It felt very cleansing. It was nice and warm. It was like the perfect temperature. It was also really beautiful. They had like a lot of green, I would guess you say stones, that you can act, because the water is so clear that you can see through the water the stones that were naturally placed everywhere. There were a lot of people in the hot spring, so I got to meet a few folks, and there were some tour guides there that insisted on helping me, right, Anthony? even though I didn't need any help, but they just insisted on being kind, on being a gentleman. So they took me from one end of the hot springs to the other end. I will say the tide in Chemka is really strong. So actually them helping me was a good thing because I kept getting pushed back. At one point I needed to wear, I needed like one of those little lifeboats, the rings that go around you, because I just kept getting pushed back. So the guy was helping me move a little bit further. But when you get into the middle of the hot spring, and I know I'm being very visual here, but for my listeners, I just want you to visualize this. When you get into the middle of it, it's almost like the tide slows down a little bit. So it's a perfect place to just float and just enjoy the water, enjoy the nature, have a great conversation, possibly sip a little something if you have one of those devices where your drink can float. But nevertheless, it was amazing and I highly recommend it. Chemka Hot Springs.
Chemka.
Yes.
And so you guys made it to the top of the waterfalls. Tell us a little bit about the hike quickly.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something. That's when I realized that I was not fit, okay? I am not in the best shape ever. Now, getting all the way to the top of Kilimanjaro can take between 4 to 8 days, depending on how quickly you hike, right? But getting to the foot of Kilimanjaro takes about an hour and a half, Anthony, depending on how quickly you walk. For us, right. it took like about 2 hours, I would say, at least for me. But it is a slippery hike, depending on the weather, I would say. Anthony and I, we did not wear the appropriate shoes. So I would say definitely invest in good hiking shoes so you can keep your balance. And you know, for me, at least when I finally got to the foot, which is where you see the waterfall come down, it was such a spiritual moment for me because it was like, this is God, right? Like, this is God's work. This is nature. And I just took it all in. You know, I was able to breathe a little bit, meditate a little bit, and then also take lots of cool pictures. You know, I felt the water. The water is not as warm as Chemka, but it is nice. You know, it's really powerful, a powerful scene. And again, I highly recommend it. If you can't make it all the way to the top of Kilimanjaro, at least get to the foot of Kilimanjaro.
Okay. Well, listen, listeners, I am so disappointed that I wasn't able to make this hike, this excursion. I was honestly extremely excited. That's the reason why we went to Arusha, right? But, you know, this is reason enough to go back to Arusha. Listen, maybe another trip to Tanzania, I'll definitely experience exactly what you guys experience. But maybe next time I go, we can definitely do a climb of Kilimanjaro fully. What do you think?
Well, I definitely don't know about the fully. But one of the things that we have to let our listeners in on is that one of the things that I neglected, I don't know about Stella, was the fact that people actually live on this mountain. So as we were, you know, making our journey, you know, from the bottom up, we actually partway through, you know, were passing through people's houses. People were cooking. There were children on the roadside. And then we went to this grandma's house for lunch. Yes, we went for lunch. And let me tell you something. again, just like me not wanting to dive into the water, I am not good with eating things that I don't know what I'm eating, that I didn't see where it came from. So that was also another experience. We sat at a table with, I would say, about seven other visitors, all different races, all different nationalities. And then all these bowls of food started coming out. But I couldn't see who was cooking it. So I was giving Stella the look from across the table, like, I need you to tell me what we're doing right now.
And so I was just like, we're eating.
Right. So I basically, what I did was I watched everyone else eat. And when they didn't start shaking and falling over and foaming, then I decided to eat what I thought was safe, which was rice and a soup. And then as I started eating, I started realizing the food was delicious. And I ended up devouring it. But yeah, that was
so good.
Yeah, it definitely was good food. And at the end, the grandmother came out, you know, just to make sure people were eating her food, because she looked like she was about to get us if we weren't eating.
Yes. She didn't say hi. She didn't introduce herself. She didn't smile or nothing. She just put another bowl of rice on the table,
right on the table,
and walked right back up.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah. And so that was also a great experience.
Okay, this is really good. Well, so okay, the trip in Tanzania, obviously that was just the beginning. So right after Tanzania or Arusha, you know, we now flew, we got on the plane, and we flew to Dar es Salaam. And we were only in Dar es Salaam for about a weekend, and our intentions to be in Dar es Salaam when we originally made the itinerary was to have the nightlife. That was the goal. That was the intention. But let me tell you guys, this trip had thrown so many curveballs. That also, again, didn't happen because, you know, in Arusha, it was the flu, you know, the flu-like, whatever it was. Now in Dar es Salaam, here I go again, start having some other symptoms and sick again. The run-ins are happening. So we couldn't necessarily enjoy Dar es Salaam the way we wanted to enjoy. And thank you guys for honestly being team players. And I actually didn't even want you guys, I actually wanted y'all to go out and enjoy it. I stay home and just manage myself, but they stayed behind many times. But Stella, talk about some of the I guess the recommendations, even though we didn't get to go to some of the places that we wanted to go, because we originally had a spot on our list and then we got in a taxi and the taxi driver recommended a specific spot. I think it's called Kademwe Beach Club. So talk a little bit about that. And Anthony, tell us about the restaurants after Stella talk about these night spots that we went to. Stella.
Yeah, absolutely. And Asher, you know, we felt so bad. But listeners, I must tell you, I did warn Asher, if he gets sick again, I am not. I just have to be honest with you guys. Because listeners, let me tell you what Asher does. He goes on vacation and he eats everything.
Let me tell you, he ate everything.
And I will say, for, you know, this organization, you know, we give it a lot of advice when it comes to traveling. And mm-hmm. I would say just be a little bit mindful about your stomach. You know, your stomach is sensitive to food that it's not used to digesting. Mm-hmm. So just be mindful about that. You know, Asher, on the other hand, wasn't. But nevertheless, we still had a great time.
Also, tell him about you had this pill to eat that you took before you ate food.
Yes, I did. And I don't remember the pill. We'll put it in the description box.
It was called Travelers.
Travelers. Got
Travelers?
You.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys should definitely pack that pill because that is preventative, because actually like all of us went to our doctors, right? Because we had to get some shots before we went. And so I think most of us, and I know my doctor actually prescribed diarrhea medications for if and when it happens. But, you know, you should probably actually do the preventative measure, get that pill so it won't happen. So that would be my biggest recommendation for you. But Stella.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And again, we'll put the name of the pill in the description box below so you can reference it. But going into the nightlife, so like Asha said, we originally wanted to go to a club in Dar es Salaam because we heard that Dar es Salaam was like the Vegas of East Africa. So we were really hyped, but unfortunately we couldn't make it to that club. And on our way to a really beautiful restaurant, and Dar es Salaam is gorgeous, by the way. Our taxi man, who again, was super nice, had told us about a place called Kadamwe Beach. And I was a little skeptical because I was like, okay, you want us to go to a beach that's 30 minutes away at 1 o'clock in the morning? Come on, guys, let's not, you know, put ourselves in that position. But actually, when we went to the restaurant, there was a waiter there who again was super kind, who actually said that Kadamwe Beach is the place to go on a Sunday night in Dar es Salaam. And you can actually Google Kadamwe Beach. And if you can't find them on Google, you can find it on Instagram. And it's Kadamwe. So it's Kadimbwi Beach, one word, on Instagram. It was a little hard for me to find because I couldn't spell Kadamwe the appropriate way, but I got some help from the waiter. And essentially, it's a rave, guys. If you're into I'm a piano, Afrobeat, and you just want to have a good time with some loud music, some local local artists, okay? And your feet is in sand where you're planted, so you can really do a little something.
Stylus, don't remind us what we missed.
That is where you need to go. I mean, honestly, just watching the videos on Instagram had me a little gingered, so I was really excited to go. But I will say it's definitely something on my bucket list. Okay, so if I ever were to go back, or when I do go back to Tanzania, I definitely will check out Kadamwe Beach.
Got you. And Anthony, you were blown away by, I guess, just the scenery, the restaurants, a lot of the sunsets. Tell the listeners about just the scene, the what they're going to see when they go to a lot of these night restaurants in the night. Tell them what is to expect.
Okay, so first and foremost, the consistent disclosure here, you know, I was a senior guy on the trip. Good. All right, fine. So number one on my list was not going to the rave, although I would have gone with the team because I could still shake my foot a little bit.
Listen, you do your dance, and I tell you, when you get down,
I can still do a little bit. But one of the things that I definitely enjoy when I travel is just taking in the atmosphere. And one of the first things that I noticed that was striking to me is where we stayed in Dar es Salaam was right at the banks of the Indian Ocean. So there was this full view of the Indian Ocean. And if you know anything about the Indian Ocean in that part of the world, you know, a lot of the slave trade happened in and through there. So that view, you know, was just remarkable to see and to watch, and to watch the port and how busy the port was.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought Dar es Salaam was, it reminded me of like some of the British Virgin Islands. It was like a very clean, small town, right? Everywhere we went seemed very clean and well put together. Nice, bright colors, you know, simple, basic architecture. And when it came to the restaurants, I mean, I think I enjoyed every restaurant that we went to.
Yeah.
You know, I know you guys enjoyed a lot of seafood. Obviously, Asher enjoyed a lot of everything because he ate everything. But
hold on. In Dar es Salaam, though, I was a little bit cautious because here, you know.
By the time we got to Dar es Salaam, I had my, both Stella and I had our fingers like, you better eat toast and tea.
Toast, because that's what it was all happening.
Right. So I definitely did enjoy the restaurants. You know, it was a really nice, cool, calm vibe. You know, not a bit of drama in the air, just people out enjoying themselves, having a great time, eating good food. One of the things that I do remember is that every little spot that we did go to, there was live music. So yes, that seems to be a theme all around the places that we did visit. But yeah, that was definitely my experience. I definitely enjoyed it. It was definitely a nice cool laid back time for me. So I enjoyed that.
Good. Wow.
And one of the things that
I'm sorry, Ash. One of the things I would add is that it was nice to see a lot of diversity when we went out to the restaurants. There were many people there from different backgrounds. That was, you know, welcoming. It was sort of like being in America, right?
Mm. Oh, yes, nice. Stella. That's a good point. What was it? Was it the City Walk Mall or the City? What was that place we went to that was right on the banks of the ocean? City Walk?
City Walk, yes.
That was an amazing experience on a Sunday, just going there. First of all, the sun was beginning to set and everyone was out and the diversity was striking. There were so many different colors and nationalities that were represented and everyone was just enjoying family time in harmony. Again, no drama, no issues, just calm, very tranquil. And that was amazing for me to see as well.
Wow. Wow. So listen, we definitely recommend, I mean, you're listening to this podcast, you're following our journey through Kenya, Tanzania, or Tanzania, as they say over there. But listen, these are some cities that you should definitely add to your bucket list. Arusha, because places like this, people generally don't talk about, right? I mean, honestly, I had to dig for information about Arusha. And I found out about the two towns, Moshi and Arusha. Arusha being a little bit more developed, Moshi not so much, but still a great time. And then Dar es Salaam. So we encourage you to add these two cities or these cities in Tanzania to your list. Listeners, we are ending for today, but continue to listen. We are going to continue to part two of this conversation and we'll pick it up in Zanzibar. So continue to stay tuned for our conversation from Tanzania as we continue to Zanzibar. Take care.